Hello, hello, welcome. Welcome today to our call. How is everybody? Today is a beautiful, calm day. And hello, everybody. So I have something to talk about a little bit today, which is sort of up to date and fits with the current times. But it's also, you can also just kind of share where you're at with on your journey and in the course right now, in the modules, and we'll see what transpires today. So welcome everybody. Let's just I want to talk a little bit about samadhi itself. You know, yeah, it's a Sanskrit name. What does it really mean? It most of you here today, you know what it means. It means to really be. And of course, stages and stages of that, to be not in time, to be neither in the past, nor in the future, nor even in the present, but to be in this instant. It is beyond the movement of the mind. So as we are speaking right now, or I'm speaking and you're listening, there is time involved. And at the same time, we have that beautiful background or that in which everything takes place, which is timeless. So we fall back into or become aware of the background, our second attention, and even more than that, that which cannot be even perceived is what you are. And then for a moment, we are not caught in the worldly movements, the movements of thought, and these thoughts are, of course, concerns and experiences. They are attachments and obsessions, pet problems, big problems, small problems. And everything else. So just allowing room and space for what is always here. This, oh, but that which is always here is actually life. It's living. It's alive. There's aliveness in that. And if you're a bit sensitive, you will notice that when you enter into your thoughts and you go to a problem or a story, that it's actually kind of dead. It's not really brimming with life. In fact, that's why you feel contracted or heavy. So I'm just going to be here, which we always are, but we're just paying a little bit more attention to that right now for a moment. So this living what you are, what we all are, that which is, that we all share, really, because we're all, it's all the same oneness, which is life itself. To be, like one of my teachers said, a quarter of a second to be conscious of that at all times and not to forget about it, is really, it's a saver, it's a lifesaver, literally. Especially in current times. And that's where I would like to go to in this conversation today about samadhi, is that we live in a world that is being filled with dead things, things that are very deadening and very unhealthy. And some of them are organic, and some are inorganic, and some are a mix of it. And they all belong to time. All this belongs to time. We can talk about it, and we do. And we can be having experiences physically or emotionally, and many do. And at the same time, we can rest and be conscious and awake to who we really are, to this here and now. And there is the medicine and the freedom. When the body becomes coerced or pushed to behave a certain way through drugs or particles or whatever is around us, it could also be, you know, through genetically modified food or toxins in whatever form, whatever flies through the air, whatever is, you know, around us. When the body gets this instruction, if we are living in time and space and we're living in that momentum of time and space, then through the power of our life force itself, we basically make it real. It becomes manifest. And then these sort of negative influences cause problems that then play out, you know, discomforts and diseases and all that. But if you are anchored and rooted and awake to who you really are, it's going to be very difficult because you're not giving all your life force to time and space and making things real. And if you give no life force, no attention to it, in the sense of making it real, it's like your being is not buying into it because you are really, you bought into yourself, capital S, into your own self. You're anchored in samadhi. Then it's no life force is given to such things, and you are literally not being able to be influenced or controlled in any way because you have self-control, capital S, and just exactly what we're meant to be doing. We as souls are meant to, like a driver in a car, sit at the steering wheel and decide where we're going. But if soul is unconscious and thinks it's the car, and then when the car breaks down or has a flat, then the soul thinks, I have a flat and I broke down and I'm helpless. I don't know what to do because the soul can't walk away from the car and go to a place and get a new tire. So when we meditate and we do this work, we basically are awakening to who we really are. Now we spend a certain amount of time in clearing shadow and all that, and it's very important. At the same time, it has sort of it can get us also distracted because the main thing is directing our attention towards the goal, which is being yourself. It's like, who am I really? Who am I? Where am I going? What's the goal with all this? And maybe everybody has a different answer to it. Maybe there's an answer you have in your mind that is very theoretical, enlightenment, self-realization. But what exactly is that for you? What does that mean right now? It meant maybe something else 10 years ago, even last year, but what will it mean to you next month, next year? As you mature, you are able to see yourself into existence. It's like knowing yourself into existence, into time and space. We know ourselves. We realize ourselves and make it real in time and space. And to do this without being caught in any story at all, any culture, tradition, to be so free, to be free, to have a moment of radical radical knowing, radical truly looking, who am I? So some of you being here on the call today, or maybe not everybody's here today on the Saturdays, I'm very happy to say that some of you are, you kind of went through a milestone. I can see that you are, and you know it maybe yourself as I'm speaking out and maybe describing it, that you have so much momentum that the tenacity, the heaviness, and the contraction of your karma is not pulling you back onto the illusion. You've got so much momentum now that you're just on your way. And that's really, really powerful, because now things are really not that difficult. Because when you get, you know, for those that haven't reached that milestone and you don't even know that you're caught, the worst is when you don't even know that you're caught. When you have your obsessions, your attachments, and your life. Having your life has nothing to do with freedom and liberation. It's a human thing, and it's beautiful. But we go beyond our life, and we see things from a completely different place, while this particular life still continues and is beautiful. Well, we're not attached. It's like the strings of time have been severed. And so I noticed that some still have these pet problems of depression or boredom or other kinds of things where and serving these sort of forces, which are basically arising from the material world to the elements, the elementals that make us up, and that have their own momentum, fire, water, earth, and so forth. And they have their qualities and their desires of existence, and that's what causes the material world to exist and to function in time and space. And when we identify with that and participate, especially through the emotional, world, then we're definitely unfree, and we're really deeply steeped in the unconscious. So I always encourage, to revisit things now that Mercury is going forward, a force in time and space. Our mind is going to become more, right now it's kind of resting a bit. It's a little bit quieter, although some people might find it more busy, but it's sort of everything will gain momentum to just kind of use the momentum in the right direction towards the self, towards who am I, towards the here and now, towards the background more than the foreground, and then collapsing both until there's just the self. we're just allowing ourselves to abide neither here nor there. And I'm going to unmute my first person here, which is Davey. I'm going to unmute Davey. Hi, Davey.
Hi. I have two questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
The first thing is, last week I started experiencing, it's almost like an electrical zap. I got zapped.
Mm-hmm.
To like, kind of like below my breast, and then it will go to the side. And I just want to know, is that like the Kundalini rising and hit certain blockage? That's why I feel like the zap, or is like something else?
Where did you feel that exactly? Where was it?
Like under the breast. It's almost like going, it's almost like some electricity zap, like zap in maybe in the middle of the body, but it went to sideways. It didn't
okay.
go straight.
Oh, I got it. Okay, yeah. Yeah, it can. Kundalini can go in all directions. It will go up, it will go sideways, it will go down, wherever it goes. Yeah, absolutely. And Kundalini is lightning, so you'll have that. You can have a zappy feeling like an electrical jolt, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then is it like the more meditation or mantra I do, the more they clear out and they go upward?
It doesn't necessarily mean need to, the direction doesn't indicate directly a progress in itself. Ultimate stabilization of the Kundalini, you know, past the crown chakra is permanently or for a certain amount of time until you realize you're not this body and not this form. When the Kundalini will descend and it will go and change body consciousness, continues to move from self-realization into enlightenment. So yeah, there is an ultimate going past the crown chakra, yes, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, there's less progress if the Kundalini goes sideways or goes and digs a lot into the deeper areas, because it depends on your particular karma and where your karma is located. Some people have more karma in the physical form, some more mentally, some more emotionally, some more spiritually, or, you know, different places. So the Kundalini will, it's the intelligence to undo and unwind those areas in a particular sequence, you know.
Okay. And my second question is, like, you know, like before I start WLS, I had a lot of like drive to do things, to put things like forward. I just feel like I don't have that anymore. And then I stopped working for quite some time, but I still don't really have the drive to go to work or find a job. And I just don't know, is that, I feel like I'm in a waiting period, but I don't know what I'm waiting for. And
I know what you mean. Yeah. Well, there's two things to that. One thing, of course, you were driven by your egoic conditioning, and that basically you've cleared a lot. So that fake, false, driven program that is blindly just continuing a karmic wheel, that's definitely fallen away, or to a great degree. Now, usually things start to stabilize themselves in a way where you begin to get motivated more organically, more guided through your higher self, let's put it this way, where sometimes you're inspired to do something and your higher self guides you in certain directions. And that will happen. And what's happening right now is that the less you're driven by ego, the more you're driven by your true self, right? So now But where are we going to get driven to? Right now, the world is beginning to fall apart. So it's almost like we're just seeing a house being demolished. We can't go and buy furniture and just settle in. It's just, what are we going to do? We don't even know what the new house is going to look like. So that is something where we learn to be patient and trust, and also to use this time, which is a very spiritual time for the entire globe, to actually really fall back more into who we truly are, and trust that that life force will take care of us. Life itself will take care of us. And I know I speak out of experience, because I went through this a long time ago when the world was on and going and everybody was still branding and all that back then. So it's just like, can we basically just trust that the universe will take care of us? Because in essence, we're like the birds, right? That shouldn't really worry about where the food comes from the next day. So you're in a good place, but it's definitely not, you're not used to it. You will come to a place where this old Devi that you can still right now reference yourself to, that you will forget. You will forget one day that you were like that. You will have nothing to do with that shell of programming that you once were.
Okay, so if I don't feel motivated to do certain thing, it's okay. Instead of like make myself go find a job or, do you know what I mean? Like it's not organic, but I.
Yeah, well, it's not about just the motivation. Like you have to ask, where's the motivation coming from? Is it coming from a place of fear or a place of like your truth, your inside is pushing you forward? Do you remember when you meditate is like the left foot and then the action is the right foot. When you meditate, you dip into yourself and then you move out and take a proper action. You manifest that new quality realization that you have, and it goes back and forth. So right now, when you meditate and your action is to have non-action, to not look for something, then that's the true thing to do. You have to check. Don't listen to your mind, but be really honest. And then your circumstances, right? Your true self will never put you in a situation where you're going to be completely like, where you're going to be homeless. It's not going to happen. You know, I know that nobody in this WIS has that kind of karma where you have to experience homelessness. This is such an important experience you must have. No, nobody here has that. So you will be sensitive to, to when do I need to do something here? Because, I know people can be, be in denial, but that's not living your truth, right?
Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm not avoiding the world. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is new, and I never been like this before. And mm-hmm. I think the mind come back and making me feel like, oh, you're avoiding the world. That's why you don't want to go to work. I just start getting.
Yeah.
A little bit confused.
Yeah, well, you went through a big shift. I don't remember what is it. Was it earlier this year or something? I'm having a hard time with time right now, but you went through a massive change and you finally were able to get out of this mind. But like I said, that memory of that you were different still exists. So you will have to master that. You're in the place of discerning right now. Discernment between what's true and what's not. What's your mind telling you? Is this a lie? Or what's your mind telling you, right? Or what's your heart telling you? So this is your phase right now you're in. And your job is to solidify your heart, to truly be who you really are and not to listen to your mind. Your mind will at some point be subservient to you. Right now your mind is still a bit of a troublemaker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. This is Katya. Hey, Katya.
Hi, Arantina. I wanted to ask you a couple of things. Just trying to remember what they were. kind of disappeared. I had a few questions for sure. Okay. One of them was when you were talking at the beginning, I said it was definitely relevant to me. I don't think I've overcome the milestone. I still feel many times when I'm being caught. I'm aware of it, and then I know why I'm being caught, because it's exciting to the mind, and mind likes to go to that excitement, which is something that I still haven't overcome. So hopefully this time it will happen.
I know, I understand.
Another thing I wanted to mention is a kind of interesting experience. The other day I asked God for something, and I was presented with a situation where, you know, I could have made that choice, something that I asked for some freedom, but I actually went against that choice. And the reason I went against it because of the fear. So I was aware there's the fear. And then I was kind of feeling sad, but at the same time, I didn't want to go into blaming myself. And, you know, I always go to, I just said that I'm not going to ask you again until I'm ready, because obviously I haven't overcome the fears at this point.
So, you know, but, it's not about what you're doing, because this is still the world that about the right and wrong doing, right? That's not about it. It's about awareness. We are consciousness. You become conscious. You became conscious of the fear. You asked the question. You watched and observed. That's all. That's the process. It's not about doing a right or wrong decision. This doesn't exist outside of time. You are pure light. It's all about becoming luminous.
Well, good, because that's what I said. I'm not going to judge this experience. I'm just going to be aware of the fear. So that's
exactly
perfect.
Perfect.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you. Then I don't need to go into that any emotional stuff. That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Would it be okay to sit with you?
Okay. Okay. Good. Great. Okay.
Thank you, Arati. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, this is Danielle. Hey, Danielle.
Hey. Your conversation with Davey, I thought, was really helpful to me.
Hello? We have a funny connection here today, Danielle. Usually we have a good connection. You know what? I'll come back to you because I can't hear you. I'll come back. Maybe we reconnect. I have Shelly next here. Hi, Shelly.
Hey, Arachima. I wanted to just kind of share what's going on, and then if I could sit with you, and I'll tell you why. Thank you for the talk. It was kind of appropriate to everything that's going on in the last 2 days. What I've noticed is I've really drawn inwards. I have made a big shift where I've kind of tuned everything out. I'm not ignoring it. I'm not suppressing it. I'm just choosing that's not my reality. I don't turn the TV on. I don't go on to Telegram. I'm only on social media for my business. That's it. I can go out into the community and be fine. I choose not to. I'm getting up every day doing what I do. Where it gets a little bit unnerving is you know this mind of mine the past 6 years and how incredibly busy it was and still can be. But what I have noticed is you really helped me, and I don't know if it was the retreat or one of the sessions where you taught me not to touch anything. So I'm really in this place of I don't let anything in. It's like I am in my own little bubble, and this is my reality, my matrix. Nobody can come in. Nobody can enter unless, you know, you're allowed in. But it gets a little unnerving because there's at times there's nothing. And I'm like, okay, how am I supposed to know what's coming, what I'm supposed to do? When it almost feels like a complete void at times. For example, I had a session today you know how you worked on changing, connecting with my past, present, future mm-hmm. clients? Mm-hmm. I had to so rely on my knowing that I almost kind of went into a panic for a little bit because, I mean, I was so out of the way. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing any of this, and I'm not feeling. I don't even know where to go. And, I mean, it's really, it gets a little unnerving. Not, I mean, and yet I'm responding. You know, I'm very, very present. But that's why I kind of wanted to just sit with you.
Yeah, what you're describing. It's so funny. What you're describing, I went through many times too, because I would always give up, you know, any control over the healing. And so I would go through these phases where literally, I know that feeling of panic because you're not touching your old tools or skills anymore. You're really letting more God come through. But I found that those sessions were most satisfying for the people. And I actually maybe took two, three sessions, and then it sort of became a new normal. And then the knowing was more refined, I would say. Yeah. So stay with it. Yeah. Stay on course. Don't touch the old. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very different. Very different.
Because what you're doing is, as you're calling being in your bubble or matrix, really what you're, you know, we're not supposed to be disconnected from the world, but we are basically not feeding the time and space, our life force, and you're feeding it into the self, into your center. And so as you are bringing your attention is resting in it, and you're always in that samadhi, then you are basically deepening it. That means your intelligence, your light is increasing, and your knowing and how you act will become more divine or divinized, right?
Okay, good, because I don't feel like I'm receiving anything right now. It's like there's been a couple times I'm like, well, am I going to receive info? Because it's like, there's just nothing at times. So if we could just,
But because, as the ego, it's like the stock market, we're always used to having action going up. But the reality is that reality is very different. Reality is, just doesn't dance to the tune of the ego, you know?
Exactly. Very different. Feels good though.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, that's it for a moment.
Okay, thank you.
Sit as straight, as comfortable as you can. Okay, I see what you're doing. There's a subtle looking for something. And when you stop that, then that becomes quiet and can become a receiving.
Okay.
You get it? Yeah. Okay. And so are you changing? Yeah, that's already changing. So that's good. Good.
Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. You're welcome. Great. Oh, and it's just, we have Mariana. Hi, Mariana.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll just come closer. A few things. Last night, I had a realization, and I just wanted to ask you about it. I like to read about the female mystics, you know, the ancient female mystics. And I had the realization last night. I was reading about Julian of Juliana of Norwich, and I had the realization that these women that have been canonized as saints, that I think what I'm trying to say is that their realizations, their visions, they I mean, I'm probably just really slow getting this, but they're actually they are self-realized, they are awake, they are God-realized. And so there's ecstatic visions are just the same as what I'm having, you know, the realization of the divine, of all that we see, of all that we are, of everything. It's just that they lived in such extraordinary times, you know, such horrific times, that they were able to actually contemplate that and write it down. And it was just the realization of the oneness of the purity of what they were seeing is still the same. It's still one of the same. And I know it's probably a silly realization, but I just realized it. And it was important for me.
You know, I don't know this particular person. So, Juliana, I've never heard of her. But let me just say something too. I think over the last 10 years, I've met people listened to people or heard or speak about unity consciousness and the oneness. But when I looked into their consciousness, they knew it. They didn't really know it. They had a mental knowing and an emotional knowing of it. But to become the oneness is different. So I would have to read the text of one of these women that you, and I think they're all different. They're very likely different states. So they can write about it, and they had an inner knowing of some sort, but it doesn't mean that they're God realized. For certainly does not mean that. Yeah.
So you might. St. Hildegard of Bingen, and your ecstatic visions of the divine. And, you know, of the oneness of light. To me, the writings felt very, very true. And I just felt that that was the realization.
You know, and I trust that you have that level, because I know your level of realization, that you have the ability to recognize where they're at. Yeah. So you just, that's fine. I'm just explaining something for everybody here who listens. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, it was just a lovely feeling, because, you know, I like to read ancient scripts, and, you know, and I like to explore so many different areas, you know, of spirituality, because, you know, obviously I've lived many, many lifetimes and have taken part in many of those lifetimes. And so they're all relevant. So it's an exploration, but it was just the knowing. I guess I've seen it all.
It's really beautiful, because sometimes we actually were these people in the past. We sometimes don't really realize that maybe right away, but we actually are part of their incarnation again. And also, you know, we should keep the company of the holy ones, and that really helps. And so you are basically solidifying, deepening, confirming, and this consciousness of yours, and that's it's actually a spiritual practice, really. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, because St. Juliana of Norwich, like, she became an anchoress, and so she went into a cell, and it was the time of the plague, and so her whole life was in the plague, so it's like what it is now. And so her vision of the divine mother was, all will be well, and all manner of things will be well, you know. So she trusted in that, and she prayed for the people. But in the cell, the little story, in the cell she had a cat, and I, because, you know, to keep away the mice and the rats, and I realized, well, she actually wasn't alone, you know, she had a cat. And that's a great sense of it. And it's just really beautiful. Like, I often think of St. Hildegard of Bingen, you know, she's absolutely brilliant, and I just I feel every time I read her and I look at her, I just feel your utter brilliance as well.
Yeah, Hildegard from Bingen. Yeah, I discovered her very early on, and actually used her book. You know, it's quite amazing. Healed myself of some things that doctors didn't know, but she had little herbs that worked.
And these women were so strong. You know, they were so sovereign in times that were so difficult, and so they sort of give me. But just by reading that, you know, the courage that it, you know, they did it. They stood up to all of that. And their faith didn't waver. Their belief in the divine and everything being beautiful, it didn't waver. And, you know, so they're extraordinary examples of sovereignty in a difficult time. And this last week has been quite difficult, you know, like the whole what's actually happening in the matrix. And I feel like I come back to my center and then the girls will open the door and go blah, 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 blah. And I just sort of like a whirlwind. And then I take a deep breath and we all settle down. And it's quite crazy, crazy. And I felt last night I was, you know, I really love Navaratri this time and the tapas.
Yeah.
And I was praying to... trying to stay awake last night. I think I lasted till about 1:30 with Durga, and I finally fell asleep praying to her. And then it's almost as if I saw her. It's like I just was. She was just. It was as if I saw all her chakras shining in a disc. Just briefly for a moment. It was just so beautiful, and I fell asleep. Thank you. And if I could just sit with you, and if I could just say. A simple prayer. My beautiful cat Shemi has disappeared this morning. She's got a bit lost. So wherever you are, Shemi, please come home. We love you. Love you. Love you. She's very. She's part wild and she's very timid. But you're saying you had pet problems this morning. I said, yeah, she's gone. But she's coming home. Can I please sit with you, please?
Yes. Yes. Please. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Rajima. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I have Danielle now on a new line. Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
All right.
I don't really have any questions. I just, I don't know, I feel like I've been dealing with a lot of stuff lately. Mm. So like mind stuff, emotional stuff. So
you mentioned something about what Devi said. Was that something you wanted to comment on?
Yeah, there was a conversation you're having with Devi, and you're saying how she had gotten past the mind, and then the mind was, you know, kind of like still giving her trouble, and the task was to no longer, you know, kind of follow that and solidify the heart. And I felt like that resonated a bit because I was doing a lot of work with, you know, the inner chanting and stuff earlier in the summer. And I got to a place where I felt like it was really just a good place, but not like, not necessarily mental good. It was just like very present and stuff like that. And then I just completely, like, feel like that, you know, it didn't even happen, you know what I mean? It's like, I know it happened, but in my experience now, it feels like, you know, it's like that it didn't. So, yeah, it just, I guess, made me kind of feel like maybe after experiencing that, it's just kind of like almost like a really big cleanse. Yeah, it just feels like kicking up a lot of, like, old junk, I guess, because I felt like I was able to, like, let go and be more surrendered, and then it's just, like, the holding and trying is just, like, it's very much there.
But you feel much more relief now, right? At ease is consciousness. Can you sense that?
Yeah, like behind what's going on. Yes, when I can experience that or witness that. But there can be so much noise where it's just like, even if I can stop, you know, like, because I'm aware of it, right? I'm aware that I'm caught in it, and I can kind of just stop. And I was able to stop, but then I was like, I couldn't find where else to look.
Yeah. But you don't even have to stop. You have to just know. You see, and what you have to just see it. And then when everything is noisy, then who's the one who wants to look? You turn to that. Who's the one that's trying right now? What are you being right now?
Too identified with things that are going on, that's moving through.
Mm-hmm. And that is that, and you know that, right? You just described that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So are you being that one that knows? Or are you not being that one? Are you being that one too?
I'm being that one now.
Were you that one the whole time, or just are you being it just right now?
It didn't feel like I was. Yeah.
It didn't feel, but I'm asking, what were you or were you not?
The mind knows, like, the right answer. But it's not the way that I was experiencing it, you know?
Well, let me say something to that. What's really at the core here, the problem is, and I know that's very human, is that we use our feeling, our emotional body, primarily, and especially as women, primarily to make sense of the world and to register what's true for us and what not, and who we are and what we're not. And what I'm doing here right now is to take that away from you. I'm saying that is not the correct tool for you to go through life. And that's why you're resisting. But that's normal. Because I want to give you or point to you something that you've always been, but that one doesn't function the same way, just the way Shelley said earlier, I'm just not used to that. That is really scary, because it's very scary to move through life and orient yourself not using the emotional body,
mm-hmm.
but orienting yourself through your true intelligence, which is who you are, through your spirit. It's very different. So right now, that's that struggle you're having right now, and it's actually very good. You're very conscious of it. It makes it harder. It makes it more difficult because you're very conscious of all the nuances of your mind, of your body, your being, and the struggle. And you're very aware. But let me tell you, this is very good. It'll make you, once you get it, you will never, ever turn back because you really know all the nuances. You'll really get it.
Yeah, because I know for me, like, while I'm going through my day, I'm like, no, this isn't right. Like, this isn't right. I'm like, this isn't like the way I'm supposed to be in the world, essentially, is what it feels like. I was like, this isn't, it's just not right. It's like not what I'm supposed to be following. I'm like, this, no, like this isn't it, essentially.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does make me feel better, though.
It does make you feel better.
Yeah, it does. It makes me feel better.
It does.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I need to be okay with being aware of it being enough and not necessarily having to, like, feel like I'm shifted, you know?
Yes, you got it. You got it, Danielle. Exactly, because you know. And to not be, it's an addiction. Women are, look, I'm a woman too. We are addicted to feeling good. This is our weakest point. It's our strength because it makes us intuitive and all this, but it's also a very weak point. It makes us magnetic. It pulls stuff in into us, makes it psychically burdensome and all that other stuff. When you are, you can only be free when you're really in that samadhi state that pulls through the entire core line, right? It includes your mind, emotions, and your physical form, but you're in the center of your emotional body, you're in the center of your physical body. You're not in the outer, you know, movement and motions of the emotional body, which is very addictive. It wants to, and it's so magnetic. It pulls things in, and unconsciously, psychically, we pull towards us constantly the same experiences over and over again and suffer from it. I mean, look at women always get the wrong boyfriend or the same situation, all this. This is, it's a real problem women have. They always say that women initially, appear to have it easy on the spiritual path, but and men, you know, they struggle so much because they don't want to surrender. But at the end, you know, women usually fall prey to their desires, to their lower desires, and they usually give up. So you're here to just do it. Just know that what you know, who you are, the true seer that you are, is what you want to anchor into. Even if you just practice for 3 days and sacrifice everything to that, and don't try to feel good. It'll be worth it.
Yeah.
Try 3-4 days. 4 days is good.
Yeah, I will definitely try that. Thank you so much. And, you know, for me, I feel like the feeling good, it is really, it's an obstacle for me because I feel like so much of my life I didn't feel good.
Yeah.
So it's like I finally cleared some stuff and I was like, I was finally feeling good. So it's like, I want that.
I know, the opposite, right? Yeah, but just imagine you're going to be stuck in that opposite for a long time and then you flip over to the other side and you pull that other in. So it's dangerous. Like you, Davey said, or you, I can't remember, I did the same thing. We think we play in our thoughts and it's just a few thoughts. But the truth is that this universe has a particular law. And we know how it works. And it seems so harmless, but then it's actually not. It's playing with our thoughts and becoming them and clothing ourselves into them is very magical. It makes things real, right? So that's how we manifest stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like a quicksand, like as you describe it, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to sit for a moment? I think we need to do that.
Yes, please. Yeah. Thank you.
Good. Great. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have Sandra here. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Ratima.
Hi. Oh,
thank you so much for this beautiful call.
Mm.
It's really lovely. Mm. Oh. I want to say I have been caring for my elderly parents. My mother is going through cancer, and I was really reflecting on how I anticipated this time. I just resonated with what Danielle said about so much of life she hadn't felt good, and I am feeling like I'm moving through this time with much greater ease, and I feel like I'm able to be there for my parents in a way that I wouldn't have if I weren't a part of WLS and the Healing School. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for being here. And I mean, these are, I can't even imagine. I never needed to do that, but I can imagine that that's very difficult. Yeah, to see your own parents you know, deteriorates, yeah. All that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. It is. Could I sit with you?
Yeah, for sure. You made some pretty quick adjustments just in the last few months I've known you, and just something I can maybe say that might help. When you are, just a suggestion to look at the situation you're in right now with your parents as just simply your karma. You make it all your own experience, and then allowing yourself to move from sympathy to compassion, like more divine freedom. So because we are trained to love our loved ones and to also feel for them. But if you can, what I spoke a little bit to Danielle about, that feminine feeling part, if you allow yourself to not go too much into that, you will come to a divine, almost like a mother, talk about Mother God here today, way of loving, which will serve your parents even more. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
it's like not coming from me.
Yeah, exactly. Because right now you are, I can see it over on your left side. It ties up your emotions and it drains you as well. But when you let that go and say you don't have to feel anything for your parents, it's almost like you don't care. When you as a human, as a person, do not care and that shuts down, you awaken to who you really are, to your divinity. And that one always loves unconditionally and gives way more than the human Karen can ever do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. You're welcome. Awesome. Good. Okay. Thank you. All right. I have Danica here. Danica, hey.
Hi. Yeah. So I've noticed some of the same stuff that Danielle had talked about, and I noticed a shift in the last couple of weeks where I'm more inside, and I've noticed the fragmentation that I've projected out.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it's coming back in, I'm worried that I'm like pulling other people's stuff in. Does that make sense? Like I'm worried that I'm attracting things that I should not be allowing in.
Oh, okay. So when you go inwards, you're just resting, like do this right now. You're just resting inside yourself, right? Hello? Danica?
Just resting inside myself. But when I come back out, and I can become aware of the fragmentation and stuff like that, I can see that some of that is my own stuff that's coming home, right? Like it's my own projected weird ideas and stuff that I have put out that they're coming home to be like eaten back up. But I also feel like I'm attracting stuff that's not me, and I'm bringing that in. And
okay. Yeah. But when you feel that, then some of it you probably are doing. So because you care, and it's again, this seems to be the topic today, the feminine caring. Because we care so much about the people around them, because it's almost like we're going to abandon them, right? We just leave them in their chaos. But you're the mother, right? It has to take care of things. Mm-hmm. So things get sort of tied up. So, right. Yeah. Just kind of, it's not a violent going inwards. You're just naturally resting inside of yourself. You're being yourself. You're really centered. And then of course, there's movement. You're eating up your own fragmentation, as you said. Do that. Okay, so now things are starting to swirl around you. So what's happening is that the world around you is also an expression of your current karmic state. As you are not engaging in it anymore and making it real, the world around you will begin to change. And you don't have to do anything about it. All you are, you're sitting at the center of the hurricane and you hold your center, and then things will adjust. People have around you, children, and everybody has their own karma. So they will adjust to the level that their karma allows and that they want to do. So, and then you will be feeling more your individual sovereignty, and you will feel them more as individuals. And that whole group drama that goes on will begin to become more refined into individual players. Making sense?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. How do you feel right now?
Better.
Better.
I was very confused through most of the call. Like, so confused that I couldn't even form thoughts. But things are feeling clearer now.
Okay. Yes.
And I'm still more centered.
Mm-hmm. I'm still starting to center. It was very fragmented. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, good. I was just sitting there for a moment with you. Okay, I'll let you go. Thank you. Okay, I have Christine in New York. Hey, Christine.
Hi, Ratma. How are you?
Hi. I'm good, thank you.
Great call. I'm sorry I came a little late. I'll go back and listen to the beginning, but I just need to sit with you, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Had some insights and changes happening. I can see that. That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. Feeling pretty at peace though, eh?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, thanks, Christine. And we got Reem here. Hey, Reem.
Hi, Ratima. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good, thank you.
Yeah.
So I don't know where. Thank you for the call. This is an amazing call, as always. And I wasn't going to talk to you, but then I wanted to share something and get your feedback also. I'm having very, I don't know how I could describe them, very elemental experiences. So like the wind, I'm like attracted to the wind or feeling part of the wind, and then the air and the anything with the elements is like I'm dancing with them or having some kind of engagement with them.
Yeah.
And today was very electric for me. Everything was electric, like you know, I couldn't even touch a switch. I don't know. I don't want to go into the story itself. I just, I was like, okay, this is something that's not part of me. It's not me. You know, I'm not going to engage with it. But, and then I'm like, is it important to know or not? Is it something that's happening? Because it affects me too.
Yeah, well, no, it's really interesting. Thanks for bringing that up. Because I went through a phase like that. It was 21 years ago. And I remember being in the ocean. It was in Australia. And I remember the sylphs, like the other water spirits, the water sprites, they became so real. I started to see them and I became completely intoxicated. So the thing is with the elements, and of, you know, that's when it was the very strongest, is that they are of the funny. It's like, again, the emotional thing again of the material world. These are the building blocks of matter, and they're all based on duality and desire. And so the elements, and you know, magicians, they use the elements and conjure them up to do things. And so the thing is that, you know, they can be influencing us and playing tricks, and the whole point is that we are not following into them. we are the ones that need to master them through our being in our center and our core. Yeah, so you can feel the enticing, and it's very intoxicating, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And all the time I was like, am I attracted to this, or am I, you know, like repulsed by this? I was trying to figure out if, you know, there was some kind of attraction or what was happening. But then I couldn't get it. It was just like dancing around me, the sort of thing that, you know, and then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to leave it aside. I'm not going to go be, you know, be aspired in the drama, because I'm coming out of a period where I was like aspired in my work and, you know, like sort of, you know, like attracted, you know, like attracted and some kind of play that I really wanted to get out of on my own. And I don't know if I'm completely out of it, but I was like, you know, like it wasn't a good phase for me, but I'm out of it.
Yeah, no, you have enough awareness to notice that there's something just, and you're very, you know, you're born quite intuitive. So you always had that quite open. And so, but at the same time, you need to overcome and master it. So this is what's happening now. It's like you get that last invitation, like, you know, will I, you know, are you going to take the deal or not? But you're not. So you just have, we have to just bring it up to the heart. We're moving from the second chakra up to the heart. And the heart is actually, you know, actually governed by the wind when you think about that. But it's also the level where we are more really safe from the elements to the largest degree, because the lower, we got the earth, we got the water, we got the fire, and then we come to air and then space in the fifth chakra. So really, once we come to the 5D level, then we're really most safe. Of course, we need to transcend the Akasha as well. That's why the safe is to be in the sixth chakra. So let's kind of just go fully into your core and just be yourself, in a sense that you are just absolutely pure. There's no element, no attraction, aversion, just nothing. You're sort of not engaged in time and space, because all that's part of time and space.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. I'm trying to... I get what you say. I don't understand it, actually, but
you get it. Yeah.
Can I sit with you just a second? Thank you.
Yeah, I'm already starting to do this. That's why.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, they're very strong, actually, these forces. So, but you know, you make a clear commitment that you're not interested. You can even say that internally, and then you move up into what is truly God self, and you're anchoring yourself into that. You know that that's where your allegiance is.
Yes. And they know, and I know, and we all know.
But what's that? What do you say?
I said, they know, I know, we all know, but it's really important to reaffirm it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Okay, do you feel different?
Yeah, totally.
Good.
Totally.
Okay, awesome. Great. Thanks, Reem. Yeah. Thank you. That's awesome. Okay, this is Vainuna. Hi, Vainuna.
Hi, Aratima.
Hi.
What a call. Thank you. all about the feminine aspects.
I guess it must have been because of Navaratri, right? It's like all about the feminine here today. Yeah.
Oh, and the emotional thing when you're talking to Danielle, it's like every word you said, you're also talking to me, I'm sure, like, because I feel like there has been so much noise going on also. And then, just the feeling about when you were talking about addicted to feeling good instead of just letting it be, the emotional, like it's just like a torrential downpour again, like I'm pure water right now. You know, just like can hardly talk without tears coming, no matter what the conversation, like it just seems to be continuous, right? And I'm also finding that the mind is experiencing much confusion in the mind. There's just no logical mind there at all.
Oh, yeah. How do you like it?
Well, I've been waking up even in the middle of the night, and my whole body goes into panic mode because nothing's making sense, right?
In what way? Can you say more? Like what exactly are you thinking about life? Like what you do?
Well, everything, but, you know, specifically the first thing that I can think of is that I put my house on the market to sell, and I have no idea why.
And I was wondering about that too. I'm like, why is she selling her house? She just moved there. But I know it's a little small, so I'm assuming that's the reason.
Well, and financial. Definitely financial, because I still have some debt that I wanted to get caught up on. That's the practical side. But yet it just seems to be taking a force of its own. And I'm like, well, if it doesn't sell, it doesn't sell. And I don't really care. And I don't know if I'm just going through something that I just have to go through the process, you know. I have no idea what's going to happen, right? And this panic comes along then, like even with the house being sold, it's like, what the hell? Oh my God, I'm going to be homeless. So it was quite like reassuring to hear that no one in the group is going to be homeless. But yeah, just in every aspect, there's just so much confusion. I can't plan anything. I can't do anything hardly or participate or even like when I sit down to like start doing healing sessions or whatever, it's just, I don't know, it's confusing.
It's also to do with the Mercury, and I think things will start feeling different probably on Monday because it's a very strong Mercury. So, you know, it's if you feel like, you know, it doesn't really matter if it's collective or not, but when something like this happens, you are aware of it. You're aware like, oh, this is what the mind is doing right now, and this is my experience. But that, this is one of the many experiences that come and go. So when we have a desire for it to change, then we are catching ourselves back in, into time and space and into karma. But we're really learning and practicing to take everything as is. It's like you have always a different experience. And if you're not looking for a different one, but you're rest as the seer and the beer of that, then you are slowly moving up the elevator in frequency. And literally your experience as a side effect begin to be less harsh and less painful. You know, the suffering diminishes, you know, because you become less and less affected by them. You know, like you were affected by little things, you know, when we were children, there were just such drama. And now it's like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter, right? Yeah. So we'll come to a place where the things that seem so traumatic right now, like, you know, losing loved ones and all that, even that's going to be like, oh, well, what does that matter really? We're eternal. Who cares? It's just another blink in the universe that we are, right?
Yeah, that losing loved ones, that's probably been playing a big part in the emotional aspect when you were talking about how we care too much for others. And my daughter had got her second jab last month, and she's been so sick just the last week or so, and I've been doing energy work on her and working with her, but she just doesn't accept it's the jab, right? Like but she's got all these weird symptoms and swellings and all this, and so yes, there is that aspect that's still and I'm noticing it. It just cares too much for, like somehow I'm responsible to make people better when they've chosen not to be, you know?
Yeah, and you have, this is a gift, right? I mean, how harsh it might seem is where you, because you care so much, your own children are teaching you to not care so much, so, you know, because they're presenting you with things that are really difficult.
Right. Forcing me not to care too much, right? Like in a way, I suppose.
Yeah. And, I think that my suggestion is that the Band-Aid has to come off. You can take a very slow rip, or you just rip it up all the way and just realize and clean it up. So you have to just go on faith that if you let go and you really don't care, but you truly unconditionally love and you do what needs to be done, but not more nor less, you will actually grow in wisdom and really see things correctly sooner or later.
Mm. Oh, I like that. Thank you. That's like, just, that resonates. Just rip that Band-Aid off and to heck with it all.
It is true. It has to happen anyway. You can't get around it, because you go into hoping and dreaming and fixing and this and that, and it just makes it worse, actually. Because what you're doing is you bring a lot of energy and attention into time and space. You're elongating your suffering, and she is part of your movie, right? But with that said, she is also, I'm thinking, influencing your sense of not knowing what to do and where to go, because there's a slight depression going on underneath, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe not so slight. Yeah, exactly. And you need some crying and some going into full grieving and letting all these very deep emotions, giving them space and room and letting them flow. And then you... instead of letting them sort of, fester down the cupboards, right?
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. I know that. Okay. I'll let you go. Okay. We went through a lot of things. Thank you. Let's just sit for a moment, take a deep breath. And just know that you are already the self. Just always fall back to that. It's nothing you're creating. You already are the self. You're already immortal. You were never born nor never die, because that is time and space. This body and this person that you think you are, that one goes through time and space. And it has birth and death. But that's not really who you are. It just appears that way and you believe it. So we go on the journey and asking ourselves, who am I truly? Who am I? And nothing is ever lost, because life is a win-win, and within time and space, it's going to be a win-lose. As always, every win will bring a loss. So if you want a win-win, you are the self. You remain in your core. You offer everything into that. And you will just truly find out what you need to find out. So just let's remain in that peaceful place. Whatever is arising on the surface, on the emotions, minds, body, and all this, it is as is. We're unconditionally loving and being okay with that. And everything has room and space in the magnificence of the self that we are. Oh, Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I wish you a wonderful weekend. Thank you. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.